Hello and welcome back to the Developmental Podcast, and welcome back to the NXT Roundtable, the weekly show where we discuss all the news in professional wrestling and recap another week of the fantastic weekly product that is NXT. There is no Michael Farah this week. He has been suspended pending investigation after comparing the chief brandy officer of AEW to a convicted pedophile, and also comparing someone to Madeline
McCann. Dakota Kai, I think? No, it was Raquel Gonzalez, that was it.
Yes. So, you know, we've taken action on that. And he will be back once he has completed a sensitivity retraining course. In the meantime, I'm joined by the third horseman of the Dev Pod nowadays.
I'll take that.
Now that Dion is too busy simping away. It's the I-double-N-E-S McVeigh. It's Innes McVeigh. Innes, how are you?
Never call me that again. That was horrible. It's far too warm for me to be anything nice. It's 19 degrees. This is death.
See, what you want to do is you want to get yourself over to this coast where, according to Apple, it is 17 degrees. See, you can have that 2 degrees.
Oh, wow. I've got Met Office up right now, and there's a 5%... Sorry. 10% chance of rain at 8 o'clock, so I'm holding out for that 10%, but it doesn't look likely.
Yeah, it's another fun hot day. I say that we had the horrendous storm like 2 days ago, so
it didn't do anything. That's the problem. Usually storms clear the air, but it just was warm again the next day.
Global warming.
It's a fair. Fair point.
It's fantastic, unless you're Trump, at which point it doesn't exist, much like The Limit. So, if you're unfamiliar with the NXT Roundtable, formerly known as Quarantine Content, formerly known as a lot of other things, it is the weekly show here on the Developmental Podcast where we start with a little bit of chat about the latest news from this week in wrestling, and then, depending on how long we've discussed about the news, we panic and then rush through NXT, or we have enough time to go through NXT. Kind of just depends. Goes anywhere between an hour and two. Actually, we've never had a show reach bang on 2 hours.
I think an hour 40 is our longest, an hour 40-something. Last week's was pretty long.
Yeah, last week's I think was an hour 50, but that always adds on the outro song, which depended on. Like, the last week's Retrona got added on by like 7 minutes because of the Mexican national anthem. if you don't know about Retrona, we'll plug that later on, so don't you worry. You'll find out all about that. So we have 5/6 major news stories for this week. One of them can kind of be merged in with two. But we mentioned Michael being away on sensitivity retraining. One man who was on retraining and rehab and has since returned to the UK and been released from his contract is Jimmy Havoc. Everyone's former deathmatch... I went to say rapist. I meant wrestler. He is now. No, I think it's confirmed. I think this one's like.
Well,
I think we don't need to say allegedly for this one.
Fair.
Save that for when Velveteen Dream comes out later.
fair.
Yes. So, three wrestlers were removed from AEW's roster page. Everyone's favorite wrestling journalist, Sean Ross Sapp, went did a dig, tried to get back some information from AEW, and it looks like. Jimmy Havoc, Bea Priestley, and Sadie Gibbs have all been released from AEW. You know, so that British invasion that was happening is gone. Havoc's is pretty self-explanatory. They just can't have a rapist on their roster. Like, that makes sense.
Fair.
Sadie Gibbs literally isn't a wrestler. She's wrestled, I think, twice in the last 19 months.
Yeah. I think a lot of that's to do with her being... Because she was signed right from the start.
Yes.
So I feel like that's partially not her fault.
Well, I think some of it as well is... So I... When I first got into fitness, like I had a bunch of the UK fitness YouTube scene, and there's someone called Grace Beverly on there who... I think she's like from the same sort of location as Sadie Gibbs. They both like a lot of each other's stuff on Instagram, I noticed. And over the last, I'd say, 15 months, I've seen CD Gabe sort of shift from focusing on wrestling on social media to just fitness training. So I think that's something she wants to pursue more than wrestling. And to be fair, it's an easier way to make better money and have a better lifestyle. And B, Priestley, we can only assume it's either because she's stuck in the UK or because, you know, she's encouraging Will Ospreay to blacklist rape victims. So, you know, it depends. The question is, I mean, there's not really a discussion to be had about the three of them getting released because, you know, the circumstances surrounding most of them. But it's not a DevPod podcast if we don't talk about the AEW women's division.
Oh, Christ.
So that's two more ladies no longer on that roster. Leaving.
And B, who they were pushing fairly heavily. And like, every match she was in, she was against Britt, and Britt's their main star.
Their only woman is Britt.
True.
So my question is looking at the pool of, like, potential signees, who could AEW bring in, or who have they got that they could start using better to, how do I say, fix the embarrassment that is a two-woman... Hikaru Shida's match this week, their women's champion was 2 minutes, and then that was it for the women. So, assuming that they actually give a fuck, what can they do in this?
See, usually I would go, oh, well, they could sign this person, but the problem is, because we've not had indie wrestling in, like, 6 months, I can't really say they can sign this person, because all the big signees from, like, the spring cleaning and that are mostly gone, if not all of them. Like, the only...
Sarah Logan was only trying to think of, like, I can think of, and then...
Sarah Logan, but she doesn't want to wrestle.
Because she's pregnant. Yeah. Makes sense, you know.
True. Deonna got signed with Impact. Who else got released?
Was there any other one?
Who else got released in the spring? I think there was...
Well, Maria.
Oh, yeah, but she's doing... she's not a great wrestler.
Yeah, she's not really a wrestler as well.
Yeah, that's what they do to bring in to save AEW's own division. They bring in Maria Kanellis.
Is that any worse than bringing in Cameron?
Oh, no. See, right, okay, I haven't seen the tag match, but I have to assume that they did that as, like, an Eva Marie type thing where they know she's shit. They can't play Cameron seriously in AEW.
Well,
I haven't seen the tag
match. She's with Nyla Rose, is she not?
They lost in the first round, though.
Right.
What, I know that.
To
they
Tay
lost
Conti
to
Anna J.
Yeah, Tay Conti and Anna J.
I know it's Tay Conti,
I,
but
assume, I can
Tay
only
Conti and Anna J sounds better. So, you know. also known as Team Simp. That's what I've decided to call.
It's very fair.
Tainara Conti is one of my favourite women's wrestlers. Mate, she's had about 3 matches that were over 2 minutes. You just want to fuck her. Well, that's the only reason I like Will Ospreay, but at least
not
I admit
wrong.
It.
But, like, in terms of, like, what they could maybe do, if I'm honest, I don't really know. Like, I guess I'd give them more time is the obvious solution, but I feel like they're not gonna do that, or at least not right now. I mean, because Hikaru Shida does a really good champion, or has been so far in the limited amount of time she's had. But I feel like they kind of, like, I don't know how long Britt's got left.
Well, she's only 30-something, I think, so.
I'm trying to think, like, who else is the natural AEW's run draw? So let's look this up.
Oh, literally just announced as you were saying that. Impact have Emergence coming up. Two-night show. Emergence Night 2, we'll see the first ever 30-minute Knockouts Iron Man match between Jordan Grace and Deonna Pizarro for the, Perrazzo for the title.
That'd be good.
So that should be lovely.
I'm just having a look at AEW's women's roster. There's like... They've got, who have they got that could? Big Swole, like,
oh, no.
Featuring time a few
she's,
times.
She's too busy with Little Swole.
What? Oh, no, what is this?
I wish I was joking, but,
oh, no.
The duo of
really?
Big Swole and Nicole Savoy, known as Little Swole.
You're shitting me.
No. I also headbutted my microphone, so that's nice. Big Swole and Little Swole are in the semi-finals of the EWWTTC or whatever the fuck it's called.
Okay.
I assume they were probably a team before.
Maybe, I don't
know. All I know is the name Little Swole makes me want to jump off a bridge, so... tournament still? WTTF?
I think the final is Tay Conti versus Anna Jay versus them, then, I assume. I think it's only four teams.
Yeah, let's have a look.
Because the only other like big person on AEW... There's Big Swole, Britt, who's injured, Hikaru, who's good, but they don't put her on TV, Chris, who's injured, and Nyla, who's in the tag tourney, and Rio, who I think's in Japan.
So we have... Anna Jay and Tay Conti versus Diamante and Ivelisse. The Nightmare Sisters.
Right, okay.
Ali and Brandy. Versus Big Swole, Little Swole, Cardboard Box. And then the finals are... So that those matches are the 17th? That makes no sense. Unless... What day are we on? Yeah, 17th is a Monday. Oh, because it's on...
They put it up on Monday.
No, because it's not on Wednesdays the next few weeks because of the hockey or whatever it is, the basketball returning.
No, but they put the...
Oh, of course, because it's not on actual AEW.
Because it's not on actual AEW, because it's a women's segment. Come on.
God.
Come on, surely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a few people they could do, but, like, I don't know. It's just give them more time, I think, is really the biggest solution. But I don't know how they'll do
that. But Kenny Omega knows what he's doing. And Brandi Rhodes had to leave Twitter because of racism, because it doesn't exist on Instagram, only Twitter. I've seen her comments on Instagram. They're very much there as well, and it's disgusting. Right, the next news topic, sticking with AEW, you wouldn't tell that this is an NXT pod. I've titled this Chris Jericho and a little bit of the Rona. Mr. Chrissy J decided that Fozzy having a concert was a good idea. You know, with actual, I think it was a drive-in concert, right?
Yeah, I think it was some like biker thing. I'm just gonna double check now. Hang on.
Defense of this was that they temperature checked everyone. Which
is what WWE did.
Yeah.
And got slated for.
It's literally what we do at work. For a store with like, for 40 employees. Which isn't quite the same as a random selection of strangers. And then he wrestled on Wednesday.
I mean, to be fair, AEW do properly check him.
Well,
so he was clear.
He came out and said,
well,
he was
far
like,
we know.
Just did my 12th, COVID test since this all started, and I'm clear. I don't know about you, but I really feel like he probably should have had more than 12 tests by now, right?
Yeah, actually, if they're checking for... Well, no, actually, every Dynamite, that would add up to, what, about 3 months minus however many extra ones he has to do. No, I think that would fit.
No, that's one a week, though.
Oh, yeah, because that would only lead you up to about June.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe checking every 2 weeks?
That's mental if it is every two. Genuinely, it should be every time they step foot in the fucking building.
True. But, it's just all a bit shitty.
I mean, America in general is fucking... only America can have...
You go anywhere outside your house in America and you're risking it. So.
140,000 or something like that dead in America, and they're like... I don't have to wear no mask. I got rats, okay? I got rats. Lacey Evans.
Because last I checked, the actual active case count was something like 5 million or something ridiculous.
I'm not saying America's fucked it, right?
But say that from the UK.
But America is the velveteen dream and coronavirus is an underage child. Speaking of America doing stupid shit... SummerSlam. And I think the subsequent WWE tapings, right? Set
Raw. I don't know about SmackDown.
Are set to broadcast from the Amway Center in Orlando, Florida. No fans in attendance, technically. Yeah, they want to give it that arena vibe again, which seems pointless as fuck, and just another risk that they shouldn't be taking.
I feel it's murky, because it will give the show a different feeling, a bigger feel, and I feel like it'll help. But they're trying to negate that the virtual LED boards. For those who don't know, they're planning on installing 2.5 square foot of virtual boards where fans can connect their FaceTime in or something like that, which I don't know how the hell that's going to work. I don't know how they're going to moderate that.
In football, in terms of, so
right, okay,
during halftime and stuff like that, they've basically been having fans in Zoom calls, and they cut to them there's a reaction to something. And I guess the way they moderate that is they have a couple of people in the Zoom call who are there to, they're not on camera, but they just make sure that no one slips into a Nazi uniform or something like that for a meme. The difference is I don't trust WWE to be that sensible. And also, all it takes is someone whipping their knob out.
Yeah. They've got to have a delay or something on it, surely. But also, if it's 2.5 square foot of screens, how the hell are they going to manage that many people?
Also, all I can think is that it's going to be pointless if there's no sound. Because I don't really care about not seeing the visual of people reacting. It's the audio.
I think they will have sound, though. Because when I was looking into this, I did hear that the NBA are doing something virtually identical. And apparently they have sound. So
I
don't know
how
that's going to work. I have to look into it.
To just start blaring. But the thing is, then, I guess they're just going to give it to the type of fan that they would ideally want in the crowd.
Yeah, so you can apply for it starting next week or something like that, and I assume they're just going to pick the markiest WWE.
I was thinking they'd pick the casualiest of fathers and sons, because they'll cheer the people they want them to cheer.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, actually, no, that's fair.
They have working internet. No, I mean, we should apply. Let's, me, you, Di, and Michael, that's a
I was going to say, I am going to apply for it anyway, just to see what happens.
So we can be front row on WWE taping. From Scotland!
Exactly. We're meant to be front row for fucking TakeOver Dublin, so I'll take one of them at least this year.
You were really looking forward to seeing Jordan Devlin beat up. Oh, no, let's not talk about who Jordan Devlin beats up. Speaking of Jordan Devlin...
There's something really loud outside. What the hell is that? Sorry, there's road... Yeah. I don't know what that is. Hang on. Oh, they're putting down, stuff to the road. What? It's the middle of summer. Why?
So speaking of Jordan Devlin, he's going to be on the WWE Network again. Because the hottest independent wrestling in the world is coming to the WWE Network. Progress.
It's Progress, Evolve, WXW, and ICW.
So
sadly, ICW.
So two good promotions, Evolve and ICW, are also there. Select shows featuring iconic moments from current WWE superstars will be going on that show. And I think the Evolve one is, it's not a singular show. It's a compilation of the best of Drew McIntyre and Evolve.
Yeah. So, Evolve have two compilations. It's going to be the best of Drew McIntyre and the best of Keith Lee. The Drew one's going to have matches against Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, Roderick Strong,
Aleister Black,
and
people.
Matt Riddle. Okay. Keith Lee one... Yeah, Keith Lee one's going to be against Thatcher, Walter, Riddle, and Dominik Dijakovic. WXW, we get Ambition 11 and Femme Fatales 2019, I think. And... Progress has Chapter 92, which has Dunn, Andrews, Morgan Webster, Tony, Grizzled Young Veterans, Walter and Ilya. And ICW have Shug's House Party 5, Night 2, which is a weird choice, because as Jeff Jarrett's commissioner, has Piper in action. And weirdly on WWE.com, they mentioned
I was looking into this, they mentioned him a couple of times, I think,
Yeah. I mean, it's a big enough name over right. here that so it makes sense.
I've got WXW Ambition 11 up here. Took place in Toronto, which immediately makes me go, okay. So the first match on it features Timothy Thatcher versus Alexander James. Daniel Maccabee and Bobby Guns are going to be... Assuming it's the full show, Daniel Maccabee is...
It must be the full show.
Bucks Ganderson versus Daniel Garcia. Mike Bailey versus Volter. Which leads to Daniel Maccabee versus...
Mike Bailey on the...
Daniel Maccabee versus Timothy Thatcher, which I've not seen, but I assume is lovely. Daniel Garcia versus Volter. I assume that... Then there's the Ambition Super Fight. Tyson Dukes versus Yuki Ishiwaka. And the final is Volter Thatcher.
Right.
Shug's Hoose Party, night 5, night 2. Kez Evans, B2 Guns.
I'm looking up.
Kings of Catch.
I was at that show. Is that Walter versus somebody?
Kings of Catch, Hunter Brothers. Andy Wilde, Jody Fleisch. Grado, Jackie Polo.
No, maybe
Aaron not. Echo, Jeff Cobb.
Nah.
James Storm. We were at this.
Christ.
James Storm versus Ravy Davey. This is the show where James Storm called me a little bitch. Yeah.
Is it? No.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, 5 actually. Yes. That would be 2018, because that went to 2019.
It's where
then.
DCT wins the title.
Yeah.
So yes, the Shug's House Party show is like the one ICW show that you're going to see us at. I just need to tell you this in the chat. Speak about what's on the Progress show.
I'm having a look right now. So the Progress show is... I assume they won't have the dark match, but the dark match is Sonar Dustin versus Luke Jacobs. Oh, that's the Manchester. This is the last Progress show I went to. Oh, it's this one. Oh, I didn't really think this show was that great. Oh, okay. LJ Cleary versus Chuck Mambo. Holly Dead versus Lana Austin.
Oh, we were all at this.
Jordan Devlin versus Connor Mills. Jonathan Gresham versus Eddie Kingston. That match I quite like, but the rest of you hate. Trent Seven versus Paul Robinson. I remember that being quite good. Do Not Resuscitate. Remember them? I really liked them. Spectre Bay and William Ever versus More Than Hype, and then Volta versus Ilya Dragunov.
The two UK indie shows going up, we were at both of them. That's weird.
And then what's that's the other show.
It's just Chapter 92, isn't it?
WXW Femme.
I find it weird that I'm going to be able to go on the WWE Network and see myself getting called a little bitch.
Session Moth, Wesna,
the fat Session
Sammy
Moth is
going
to be on the WWE Network. So is Jen Louise.
Lou Fisto. Christ. Lou Fisto wins this. I think. Oh yeah, she does win that. That's interesting. There's no WWE signed people on that. It's an interesting choice of shows. Not the ones I would have picked, but. It's
I guess
different.
Shugs, they chose the one that has Jeff Jarrett on it, and they just really wanted me to get called a little bitch on the WWE Network. The Progress show, Volterilia, was really good.
I don't know why they wouldn't have picked like a bigger show, like 95
probably
or 96. The
last time I watched NXT UK, they were building to Volter versus Ilya. So they can... Yeah.
Right, okay. Oh, so that makes sense. I'm looking at that. Fair enough.
Plus, I don't think... Other than Jeff Cobb, who hasn't signed, none of the... In fact, Eddie Kingston is currently signed to AEW, and he will be on the WWE Network. That's fucking weird.
Yep. And he was the Evolve show as well. So he was already on the WWE Network. Yeah, he was on the... Do you not remember? He was on the Evolve show that was on the
There's
network.
An Evolve show on the network?
Do you not remember this from last year? That's how Shotzi gets signed.
Yes, of course she is. Yes.
Because remember she did that mental dive?
All hail Queen Shotzi.
It was the most forgettable Evolve show ever, but you know.
Last bit of news. I'm just going to quote this as it was written on the community. AEW batters NXT in the ratings. Both shows were down. NXT at, and I can remember the number because it's great. NXT at 619,000, booyaka booyaka, and AEW like 780, so it's like 170,000 difference. They nearly doubled them in the finger quotes here prime demo. Which to me doesn't make sense, because for WWE, I feel like the prime demo is actually like 8 to 16, because that's who buys tickets to, or that's who gets their parents to buy tickets to a house show.
For NXT, though, yeah. I wouldn't say so. Main roster, yes. Because the casual doesn't really watch. Because
the thing
NXT.
Is, if you get one, I call the prime demo the mark demo, right? If you get one person from the mark demo to buy a ticket, that's good. If you get someone from the toddler demo to buy a ticket, you also then their parent has to buy a ticket, so you sell twice as much, and they buy shitty merch all the time. So,
it's interesting. I think the reason why is because AEW did have a lot going into this show this week. They were building it in sort of like a tag team appreciation night. It was something with the Revival. They had the Rock and Roll Express on it. They had Young Bucks versus Dark Order. They had
Cody versus Scorpio Sky.
Lucha. Cody versus Scorpio Sky, and the tag titles Kenny Jurassic and Express. Adam Page versus Jurassic Express. I was going to say Lucha Express, but that's not right. Whereas NXT, it had some good stuff going into it, but I don't think it was as strong. Like, it had Priest versus Reed pre-announced. The triple threat with Kushida and Cameron Grimes, Cross versus Butch. Like, it's a good show on paper, but I don't think it was as, it wouldn't have drawn people in as much as the AEW show, which I think is why.
Do you think we'll see a knee jerk reaction from NXT?
If it continues this week, yes. Not if it goes back to normal, from here on out, no. Because I think they don't do knee-jerk reactions unless it's 2 weeks in a row. Because it's not so big a drop in 1 week that it's, oh shit. Like, it's only a little drop in the grand scheme of things. So
as
we'll
talk
we'll
about
fine.
When, and this is the last conversation anyway, or before we get into NXT, it's the last topic rather. I am really enjoying a lot of the people currently getting featured on NXT. I really don't want them to try and knee-jerk it.
Well, the thing is, they're on the path to takeover as well, so I don't think they would knee jerk it, because they've already got so much build to takeover.
It'll be interesting to see how takeover and the go home show to takeover do. That'll be the. I feel like it would help,
especially considering takeover, and Dynamite that week.
Yes, I really don't want Dynamite to do better. Do better for that hour than TakeOver. That would be dreadful.
No. It's a pay-per-view. No way. I would be very surprised if that happened. We won't see it anyway, because TakeOver, you won't get,
you literally can't give you it. To be fair, that's the thing about the whole ratings war. Ratings war doesn't work in a digital age.
And it's at the end of the day, it's the fucking matter. Like, let's be honest.
It matters in terms of for TV, who you want to show, but also when you're saying like, AEW won by 65,200, networks don't care about 65.
Another win.
Suck it, Vince. I hate this culture. Just hating everything WWE because it's cool. Ooh, Agwan.
I mean, we can't all say we haven't all done it, though. At one point or another, all of us have done it.
Yeah, but mine was when I was, 14 and I liked TNA.
Exactly.
But I didn't tweet about
That's the problem, because most smarks are 14. Let's be honest. We are in the older bracket of smarks now. Let's just get that out.
Well, let's talk about the NXT that got battered in the ratings, because there is a lot to cut through. Let me pull it up. So we open things up straight away, no nonsense, straight into the main event, as the lights go black, the black and white filter, the smoke, the erections, it's Karrion Kross time. He comes out, Fallen Prey, Scarlet is bon appetit, muy delicious, very good, and so is Kross. Then Danny Burch comes out. And I said this to you at the time, I love the immediate juxtaposition of this very chaotic, elegant, intricate entrance. You know, the Scarlet dropping to the ground and then Cross emerging close up into the camera. And then, Danny Burke comes Danny out to what sounds like out. The two fingers, the fingers. Union Jack, and basically London's Calling.
The best part is the smoke there, from Cross's entrance is still there, so you can't even see him when he goes down to the ramp. He
gets around, rings the bell straight away, goes straight into Cross with a bad drop kick, then clotheslines him out where you can see that Cross is very tall because he nearly knocks himself on the head when he falls out. It's quite one. Back and forth for a couple of minutes. Like Birch uses his explosivity to kind of get ahead of Cross, but then Cross eventually gains control. The Herald of Doomsday chokes out Birch with the Cross jacket, forcing a submission. As he taps him out, he's looking at the camera and goes, "Are you looking, Keith? Are you looking? Pay attention, Keith." And then he does like a number two, which I couldn't tell was if it was him taking the piss out of Danny Burt or him saying that is the second victim that is Keith Lee's fault. Well,
it's not really, though, because last week he took out like six people.
Who? Cross. Took out...
Remember when he choked out Danny Burt? There was a bunch of people lying about as well. I didn't have a proper look back.
Oh, yes, so that's why this match happened. Yeah.
Remember last week? He choked out. We saw him choking out somebody. We didn't know who it was. I only realised afterwards it was Danny Burch. But after he chokes out Burch, the camera zooms out and there's a bunch of people lying on the ground. Yeah. I don't know who those people are.
I guess it's the second person he's beaten in ring that's Cross's fault. Not that's Keith's fault. Dijakovic being the first.
True.
But, I mean, before we get into the post-match, which is kind of what this is more importantly about, any thoughts on the actual match itself?
I'm glad they're keeping it so that they're showing Cross isn't invincible all the time. Like, they're not doing a fiend with it.
I mean, give it 5 minutes and they are.
Well, they're doing stuff like Burt actually got offense on him. He got Cross in a cross space. Granted, Cross managed to, like, lift his way out of it. But he was still, like, he could still take him down. You could still hurt him. But he's not.
Other than Leon Ruff, everyone he's had a match with, like, thinking back to Bronson Reed, like he's taken offense and he is damaged by it, but he powers through. Like he is presented to us as human, which is why what happens next is so fucking confusing. Before we get there, I'd like to read you a quote. From the podcast last week.
Okay.
I feel like with Cross, they need to keep him as a human that's just a bit psychologically damaged and intimidating. You know, like a sort of hitman or bodyguard. He feels pain and it does affect him, but he also enjoys the pain. I think it'd be quite cool to see him start getting more and more chaotic and psychotic to get to Keith. I think a really interesting thing to do would be to have him attack Mia Yim. What I don't want to see is him start doing spooky shit like teleporting and using magic. That's a quote from yours truly last week. So, Keith Lee comes out after this match. Basket is glory! Still a great theme and a great, very contrasting to Cross's. He comes out with a contract, and once again, as Keith Lee does, he gives a great, short, passion promo. You're a little bitch, you wouldn't get your ass in here and fight with me, you keep doing all this because you want the fight, but when I offer you the fight, you run away like a little bitch. So I had to go to Keith Lee, I had to go to William Regal, and I begged, and I got the match for TakeOver 30. I even said I wouldn't hurt you, I wouldn't lay my hands on you until then. My name's on this contract, Regal's name's on the contract, all it needs is yours, you little bitch. And then... Scarlett takes it, shows it to Cross. Cross reads it, which I appreciate. Signs it like he doesn't know how to write, which I enjoyed. He just kind of... like he's mixing a bowl of pasta. Yeah.
He just squiggles. it's like me when I try to
And then Scarlett kisses the contract and slides it back into the ring. And I was like, oh, that's a nice touch. Sealed the deal with the devil with a kiss. That's always been a thing. Like it.
There's a really long pause there.
And afterwards. I remember watching, I'm like, why are they... like? Because nothing happens and it just lingers on the contract. And I was like, this feels like it's meant to be the end of the show. Like, this would be a good closing shot. And then Keith picks up the contract as if to make sure he's signed it. And in a Hulk Hogan Yokozuna Mr. Fuji-esque camera fashion, a fireball appears and blinds Keith Lee.
See, I assume the pause is like them installing the pyrotechnics or something, or setting it up. Because there's no other reason why. But the show's edited and recorded.
Oh,
so why
it must have been... It was them loading up After Effects to buy it. the problem is that it was a fucking fireball. And...
Yeah, and it did look...
I don't even mind the effect looked shit, right? It's more that... The only thing that... Because I was in my head, like, maybe they tampered with it, installed it, and we're going to find out that they're also, like, they're good with mechanics, and it's, like... But it's going to be that Scarlet's Kiss, like, cursed it or something.
Yeah.
And... I don't like supernatural wrestling characters. I like...
You don't know. Maybe, like...
Oh, there's...
When Cross signing it was doing like some curse thing that caused a fireball to magical.
So what you're saying is the worst case scenario is I get the one thing I really didn't want, and the best case scenario is that Karrion Kross is a terrorist. Episode title. Yes.
Well, I mean, he did get called a murderer last week, so, I mean, terrorist is pretty much a step down from that.
Karrion Kross as Osama Bin Laden, episode title in the bag.
Oh, God, we're going to get cancelled for one of these times.
The other two
would
be Michael.
I'm just glad it's not me coming up with them. Let's just clarify.
They focus a lot on Keith being blinded. So much to, and it ties in here. We get the start of Drake Maverick versus Killian Dane, a match literally no one wanted. I feel really...
Question. Isn't Maverick meant to be a cruiserweight? Why is he fighting Killian Dane?
The cruiserweights can fight whoever in NXT. Yeah.
Can they?
We've had... Yeah.
Oh, because Breeze, I suppose.
Breeze is a cruiserweight, and he fought Imperium, for example. It's on actually. 205. No, 205 is like they all fight each other, but yeah.
They're restricted.
I felt really sorry for both the guys in this match because the first 5 minutes, including their entrances, is split-screened with most of the focus on Kross getting blinded. And then goes to an advert, and when it comes back from the advert, rather than coming back to the match, it cuts to the Undisputed Era coming in, them talking about the Undisputed Era, and then cuts to about 2 minutes of the match, and then the Undisputed Era run in and beat them down, and Adam Cole makes a statement to Pat McAfee to turn up next week if he wants to prove that he's the shit.
I like them selling the fireball from Keith because it shows it's actually a fucking fireball.
Yes,
of course,
but my fear is
literally,
and I think some of this is because at the point we're at in Retrona, America's Most Wanted are about to split up. For you, those of you who don't know, Retrona is a weekly show here on the Developmental Podcast where me and Michael Farah sequentially study the rise and fall of TNA and Impact on Spike TV, taking us from late 2005 to late 2015 as we try and kind of work out where exactly TNA shit the bed. America's Most Wanted...
Take a shot every time we podcast.
America's Most Wanted have just split up. And in that match, in that feud up to lockdown... Chris Harris gets blinded, and they have the blindfold cage match. And now I just live in fear that Karrion Kross Keith Lee is going to be a blindfold match.
Oh, mate. Like, possibly. I don't think it will be. But my main worry with it is I hope they keep the injury sold. Like, I don't want Keith Lee coming back next week and just being fine. Like, if you're going to go to this much effort selling it throughout the next... 20 minutes literally of TV, then either keep him off TV or have him come and take over with...
I said this at the time, what I think would be really good is if it kept Keith off of TV until next sort of the pay-per-view, and that way what we can do is sell the injury, keep Keith off TV to keep him fresh. The feud can be built around Kross, and then that leaves Mia Yim vulnerable, and because Keith isn't there to save his friends or Mia Yim anymore, which means that Keith, Karrion Kross, can attack Mia Yim. and blame Keith for not being there to protect. Listen, I just really think it would be good to have Karrion Kross beat up Mia Yim a bit.
Are you sure this some is not kink. Just your prejudice coming out again after last year? After last year, last podcast. First Brandi Rhodes, now Mia Yim, and you're back on it again with Mia Yim. I feel like we've found something deep.
Sister having
you.
A party in us.
Right, to cut for context, my sister came in the room there and she was asking
for a
pump,
speaker.
So I had to give her that hint. A disco light, I think.
As you do.
I'm not sure.
Is it not a school night?
No, it's Friday. Yeah. She finished school this week. She's going away somewhere for the weekend. I'm getting peace, so I'm happy. Anyway.
She's getting battered from behind for the weekend. That's what it really is. Innocent sister gets battered from behind. Yeah. NXT round table 18. Undisputed Era beat down on the guys. Adam Cole connects with the last shot on the Beast of Belfast. They grab a mic, calls out Pat McAfee, tells him that he couldn't last in his world. And then we cut. Feels a shame for Kushida. For Drake Maverick. Killian Dane. I didn't want the match, but...
Killian Dane, fair enough. I feel Killian's a wee bit more fair, but Drake, after having that big program during the Cruiserweight tourney, being the reason a lot of people tuned in, to now being reduced to just
there
being overshadowed by Keith Lee and being beaten up by the Undisputed Era as a set piece in the main story. I feel like they could have brought in someone else to do that. I feel like Drake's bigger than that, if you know what I mean.
From there we cut to Kushida talking about being glad he finally has an opportunity, despite the fact he had an opportunity and he gave it to Drake Maverick. He then tells Cameron Grimes and whoever the mystery opponent is that he would face, that he's not afraid of them, and he has only one goal, the North American Championship. And then we cut to another beautiful entry. It's Santos Escobar and the Legacy of Phantasma coming out.
Oh, but you've missed the better entrance. That is Tyler Breeze's solo entrance for the first time in a year. Only I'm excited about this fact, but it's nice to see actual Tyler come back with a little
self.
He doesn't have these little phone things, which is sad. But
beaming up,
I don't. To be fair, he's not had that. But
we should bring it back.
Still,
we should bring it back.
I want it back.
So it's Tyler Breeze versus Santos Escobar, a continuation of the Legado del Fantasma Breeze Angle Swerve feud. Santos sends Wild and Mendoza to the back. Tyler Breeze and Escobar kind of go back and forth. Tyler Breeze wanted to get some revenge. Mm. Escobar wanted to make a lasting statement. Back and forth match. Not a lot, actually, of notable in-ring stuff happens until the finish.
Part of that, I imagine, is maybe them keeping most of the main stuff for down the line.
It feels like this match was more to build to what they're doing next week, because Wild and Mendoza come from the back, provide the distraction, Escobar hits the Phantom Driver for the win. They do a beatdown on Tyler Breeze until Fandango comes out with one arm in the sling and makes a save, but then he gets beat down as well because he has one arm, and that's when Swerve comes out. So it looks like, in a roundabout way, this is probably going to lead to Swerve versus Phantasma either at TakeOver or on the pre- or post-TakeOver show.
And I'd imagine TakeOver.
You can do Legado del Phantasma versus Breezango for a tag team number one contender match.
True.
Because remember, the tag titles, they exist.
Yeah. No, I really don't want to see Imperium anymore. But
Zai Imperium.
See, the problem with Imperium is it's not a very entertaining team when literally half the faction is missing and you can't bring them on TV.
Yeah, but it's the bad two that are missing, so it's fine.
Ah, no, it's the good two that are missing.
Nah, Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner is the best of them all.
I don't know. I like Alexander Wolf and Walter.
Walter does a big butt and a chop, and Alexander Wolf Yeah.
Does a power bomb and has a beard.
Didn't know that.
That's his finisher. Thanks 2K20 for that knowledge.
Do you have any thoughts on the cruiserweight action that we just saw?
It was fun. As you said, they kind of kept it close in regards to like actual moves they were doing, because I think they're probably trying to keep this for a proper match down the line. I'm kind of sad they're not doing Breeze Escobar for an actual takeover match, as opposed to, like, I like Swerve, but I feel like Breeze Escobar personally would be a bit more fun. But Swerve Escobar, if it's on takeover, could be really nice.
Swerve Escobar will probably be the better match in terms of like in-ring action, because I think Swerve is one of the most slept on like wrestlers are going right now. He's had a really good year. Him versus Gargano, for example, from American Bash Night 2 was great.
From
the problem is he's not going to win, and I don't believe for a second he's going to win. As long as the match is good enough to make me forget that, it's fine.
It's kind of a problem with all of NXT's champions right now. All of them are kind of fresh. Which means
it's positive. It's good for the main event, because I genuinely don't know how that title match is going to go between Lee and Cross. Like the way it's being built,
yeah,
which worries me and fills me with hope
simultaneously.
Because I stand by that Lee's going up post SummerSlam. He's going to be the big. Okay.
Interesting.
Drew's gonna win, or Brock will come back to do something, and then we can maybe build to Brock versus Keith, because that would be money, and you can tie that to the Royal Rumble. But yeah, I just don't care about Tyler Breeze as a single star, unless you make me care. Split Breeze and go up and turn rehire Curtis Axel, turn Fandango heel. We've got the perfect build here where like Fandango keeps getting beat up because he keeps trying to save Tyler. Just fucking turn on him, and look, a lovely takeover match between Fandango and Tyler Breeze.
Michael's not even over here to argue against you.
Them both simultaneously. So we get a Dakota Kai pre-taped interview, and she's in Io Shirai's head, and she's gonna beat her. And, you know, she doesn't need any friends or enemies.
That was interesting. I don't need any friends or associates or anyone. I can do this all on my own. It kind of sounds like
she's giving up on her personality. It's really weird.
If Raquel is gone, that's a shame.
That would be quite clever is she comes out without her at TakeOver. Because even if she had to self-isolate, she'd be fine by TakeOver. And it's looking like an even match, and then Raquel blindsides Io when the ref's not looking, and Dakota gets the win that way. Because I do feel like Dakota might win. Because Io is on such a pedestal that if she beats Dakota, there is literally Mercedes Martinez, and that's it.
I kind of feel like that's the same problem with the main event, though. Like, if he beats Karrion Kross, who really else is there? Who's established? I feel like it's kind of one of those situations where we're either going to get one or the other. We're either going to get Dakota beating Io, or Kross beating Lee, or neither. We're not getting both, I doubt. I don't think
we're going to have a tag title match. And we're already...
Nah, I doubt it. Maybe on the NXT the week after, if they even do that. I don't know if they're going to do that with there being no crowds. Because they didn't do that for, In Your House. They didn't do In Your House. They didn't do like a recap show, because they didn't really need to.
Well, the thing is as well, they don't do the recap shows anymore because they're on TV. So,
neither they do. Yeah,
you're right. And we're guaranteed a new North American champion. Yeah, so that also throws a swerve in, like, how's it going to go?
True.
But... backstage, Mia Yim explains that Keith Lee's in hospital. She had to come right back because she needs to focus on her match rather than Keith Lee. I was really hoping... So it's Mia Yim versus Indy Hartwell. I was really hoping we were just going to see Mia Yim be really concerned throughout the whole match, and then maybe like Cross or Scarlett were going to do something to her. No, she just beat Cindy Hartwell, and then
they did sell throughout it though that she was.
I mean,
over mind.
Commentary sold that.
Like, take advantage of it a couple of times because of that. They did do it in the match a little bit. Hartwell better than
like,
Mia.
I guess
to be
a lot of Mia's character would be like able to compartmentalize it and just focus on it. You know, she's a head baddie in charge. Mm. Still don't like that nickname.
And Mia's got like this new arm wrench as a finisher. I don't know if that's a permanent finish or just something for
head
this match,
scissors.
But she like does like a. Yeah, head scissors on her, and then like twists her arm up, wrenches it up the way, which is I've never seen that before. It's quite interesting. I think Mia could use a submission finisher if she
is. Yeah, it's something. Speaking of something, it's Damian Priest versus Bronson Reed.
I feel like
Damian Priest was the sort of cocky like veteran of NXT in this like scenario. And Bronson Reed's, you know, on this high train at the moment of, like, a good run of form. But, in the end, Bronson Reed picks up the win, goes for the, I think he calls it the tsunami.
Tsunami.
Which is probably why he was...
Yeah. Lands
it's meant to miss, but
Priest doesn't really get
Priest's
away in
just
time.
A bit tall, so it catches him slightly.
Then Priest goes for the crossroads thing. Can't remember
infamy?
The name for it. Infamy, I think. Yeah, and
hits
Reed
the
breaks out of it, and then does the the jackknife and wins. It's a weird finish. How did you feel? Because I'm interested to see
Priest finisher. We had to look this up before, actually.
Because when we were doing like wrestling quizzes, like
the Reckoning,
that was all the rage. And one of the things I asked is, that's at the Reckoning. One of the things I asked was, what is Damien Priest's finisher? Constantly. And none of us could ever remember it.
I enjoyed the match. I thought it was fun. I'm...
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, because I really, really enjoyed this. I thought this was a lot
I thought this kind of personified what this tournament's meant to be about. Like, I feel like... Bronson Reed especially, and Cameron Grimes, I guess, would be the two I'd personify it with. I've been the guys that I've gone from, I guess, to, I'm looking forward to this. I feel like, as we'll talk about in the main event, I think there's going to be a very clear North American title winner, and I'm not really looking forward to it.
I am.
But,
I hope we're thinking the same person.
No, I'm talking about the pedo.
Oh really?
Okay,
interesting. Okay.
I would be kinda all for a Bronson Reed win, even if it was just a short one.
I have another idea, but I'll wait until the main event for that.
I also have another picture of it, but it's fucking mental. But I just think
interesting.
We have a lot of titles that tend to, especially the NXT, last for a while. Tag titles have been a while. Before Keith, obviously Adam Cole for ages, possibly Keith still for a while, Io for a while. Io since what? April? So May, June, July. Like 4 or 5 months, but it doesn't feel, other than Dakota, like it'll be ending anytime soon. I feel like the North American title's the one that should bounce about a lot, because I feel like you could do a great thing where like Bronson gets it, keeps it a couple weeks, loses it by a fluke, wins it back, loses it some, like... You know, title changes don't happen as much as they used to in wrestling. But,
Even in NXT, because NXT used to do a lot of TV title changes, and they've kind of stopped in the last couple of years. Especially since they went on TV.
Very ripping off AEW's TV title, right? But to be fair, AEW with the TV title, just ripping off John Cena with the US title.
Exactly.
I'd like
to, not exactly
Johnny
an original gimmick, let's be honest.
It's like a piss take. I'd like to see... maybe Bronson win it, or one whoever wins it do like a weekly title challenge with it, but with like legitimately like hell backstage just spin a wheel, like it's Bronson Reed defending his title against Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan,
build
just
up
give
the
them
sort
a good
of lore card guys,
yeah,
or people in the performance center,
Boa.
you try to pick through all the people who can remember.
No, I just thought
crowd,
who's in the performance. Who's the one that had the match with Thatcher recently?
Oh God! Now you're testing me.
Thatcher.
Denzel Dejanet, right. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the amateur stuff guy. Like, they're obviously not gonna win, but they could put on a good show, and then people will care about them a bit more. What do you think about this match and Reed and Priest recently?
I really, really enjoyed this. I was expecting this to be quite as the dog barks in the background. That's great. But like it was rough in little bits. Like the finish was always quite rough. But there was one point like I was particularly impressed and got me really, really excited for the ladder match where like Reed Irish whips Priest into the ropes. Priest does a middle rope somersault senton. It does like a backflip 480. What the fuck? He's like 6'3". How? I feel again. It goes back to like when Priest first won. I said like he was gonna kind of be the wild card in this match, and I feel like he is with the sort of athletic stuff that he can do. And I feel like you got a little preview of that there, and I'm really excited to see what they're gonna do in the takeover match now, because I think all going well, we might be in for another 5-star with a similar to the other North American title match.
Oh my God, I've just realised that the Loomis injury might be a work. Oh, wait, no.
Really?
The triple threat that happens this week was going to happen anyway, wasn't it? Right, that's right. Just because, obviously...
Yes. Loomis is injured as far as I know.
Who wins this, and Loomis had a story going into the disappeared, you know, with the weird foe that got painted. So I wondered if it was maybe a reference to that. But, yeah, it's time for the main event again. As it's tag team matching, but it's good tag team matching. as the newly outfit matching Casey Smith and Caden Carter.
I forgot about that. Casey Smith. Still the shittiest but funniest joke we've ever made on this podcast.
Take on the team of Mercedes Martinez and My Queen and Yours, Robert Stone, and also Aaliyah. we stand Aaliyah on this podcast now. Nope, I don't know how we got here either.
Over these last few months, I've realised what self-loathing is, because me 4 months ago hates me for liking Aaliyah now. Every time I see Aaliyah, I go, "Oh, I actually quite like you now," and I hate myself for it. Really, really hate myself. But.
Before the match starts, Robert Stone offers Casey a chance to join the Robert Stone brand if she drops the loser. And then she slaps Stone and stomps on his injured foot. Love that that's still going. Babyface team of Casey and Caden. They should recruit a third person with the name K. I was going to say they could be called Triple K, but then I realised... I was thinking like K Quick, right? And then I was like Triple K, and then I was like Triple K, K K K. Oh, maybe not.
We've got loads of title episode potential for this now. Casey Catanzaro, Carter, the K K K. Oh, fuck. How have we not been cancelled yet? Fucking hell.
But,
anyway.
Yeah, so the babyface start control, but then Mercedes gets in and starts to regain control. Carter was isolated. Catanzaro gets the hot tag. Catanzaro gets the hot tag, but she takes the air raid crash for the loss. There's a couple of things I like throughout this match. Aaliyah actually gets tagged in by Mercedes. Like, Mercedes isn't, like, doing the thing of, like, no, you're shit, I'm going to do it all. Like, she tags her in and stuff so that she can get little breaks. Aaliyah gets some actual offense, and they did that, like, facebuster tag team move. Like, the flapjack facebuster. When Mercedes gets the pin for the team, Aaliyah's, like, over the moon and hugs her. And then Mercedes kind of shoves her off, and is like, "What the fuck
Mercedes
are you doing?"
Pushes her off. It's great. Like, they're still showing that Mercedes is like the dominant force of Robert Stone brand, because they're still showing Aaliyah and Stone
are like
shit on their own.
lovable, incompetent duo, but they always try, mm-hmm. and you can't take that away from them. And yeah. they are oh, getting course. Mercedes on the show, which, like, in kayfabe is what she wanted them to do. But they're getting a bit too close for comfort sometimes, and she has to shrug them off. I'm looking forward to how this arc goes. I hope it goes for a while. Because afterwards, Rhea Ripley storms the ring, and they start. What I liked here is Mercedes is getting beat up by Rhea, and then Aaliyah makes the save. Big, brave Aaliyah slides in. It yeah. looks like dick punched. I'm assuming kidney punches Rhea. and then they just made a feud for me. Because we got Mercedes Martinez, one of Liam's faves. We got Robert Stone, one of Liam's faves. We got Aaliyah, one of Liam's faves. We got Rhea, who I really liked last year. And then Shotzi Blackheart comes out to make the scene.
Still not on the Shotzi train, but
so
fine.
I'm assuming that we're going to get tag team action soon between Rhea and Shotzi and Mercedes Martinez and Aaliyah. All I've realised is we have some women's tag titles. And we're building... Ooh. The way that I've seen people saying it is... Because I think Asuka beat Bayley on Monday, right? So she gets the match against Sasha.
I can't remember. Sasha at some
point. Yeah, no, other way around.
Asuka versus Sasha.
Is still going to be against an enemy she has made. No, the winner of the cross brand. Oh, that'll be tonight, won't
the
it?
The Battle Royal this week. Well,
SmackDown's on Friday, Friday night.
Is it not on Raw?
Is it on Raw?
I thought it was on Raw next
Because what brand's Bayley SmackDown champ, isn't she?
Yes, but she goes on.
So I don't know. Fuck they're us. Going to do that.
Anyway,
yeah.
on one so, of the shows, there will be a battle.
What I've been reading is Sasha's going to lose to Asuka and blame the fact that Bayley lost to her in the first place, allowing her to get the match. And then Bayley will be like, oh, you still never defended your title, you shit. And that's how you start that build. But they have to lose the tag titles. And if they're going to be fighting against each other, I think they should lose the tag title to someone that would piss them off. And I think Aaliyah and Mercedes Martinez winning the women's tag titles would, one, put that title on NXT, gives a lot of the women something to like use as a fuel to elevate feuds. And also it means that Aaliyah would be an NXT champion.
It's a fucking
champion.
And I'd enjoy it.
Oh, I want it.
What is this fucking year? Me and Jamie.
Well, I'm going to have to find the clip of the audio at some point where we just slated. We genuinely did a slating of Leah for like 45 minutes once.
Oh, yeah. If you go back and compare, when I started, when I came on this, like episode 4, when Dai abandoned ship, versus me now, because I'm fairly sure Leah's on that episode, and you compare my reactions, it's very different.
Good writing and booking, and I think you know what it is as well? You can tell that she doesn't think that she should be doing something like more serious or better than. Like, I feel like she knows where she's at and she's still working hard to improve, but she's also just enjoying where she is at the moment. Yeah. And I really like that. And Robert Stone is so good. Like, his comedic his Twitter is incredible. Also, it's asked amazing. Me to DM him.
Just but, casual yes. brag there.
But now we have to talk about the actual main event.
Well, there is
oh yes, much better,
first,
much
Johnny
better.
Puts
yes.
The light in.
Do you want to run us through?
There you go. We can have one sliver
with
of
Gargano's. I love this.
Sure. So they cut and Gargano's up on a ladder screwing in a light or something. Candace is reading a bedtime story to her dog. Something about a princess. Yeah, and something about a fairy and a dragon or something like that, and then they do the whole murky thing, and it's like, Candace tells Tegan she shouldn't have even gotten her business because the fairy didn't do something much. Basically saying she's the fairy.
I assume it's a pixie, and, I'll be honest.
Then Gargano...
Because poison pixie.
I think she says fairy. I can't remember. Either way, fairy pixie, same difference.
Well, no, Michael is a fairy.
Then Gargano.
Can I say that? Oh, can I say that? I don't think so.
No, not really. It's fine. Listen, it's an episode without Michael. No one fucking listens.
It's fine. It's an hour and 5 minutes in. No one's listened this far.
True. And then Johnny's up on the ladder and he talks about how, you know, then he's got this opportunity against, I think it's Rich Holland. Yeah, he's not the one who, because Finn's the one who
the nonce, yes,
has the match against.
Not the nonce. The nonce.
The person who didn't lose. You can say
victim came out with more evidence and statements today.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah, proper nonce.
Gargano's up the ladder and he like talks about how he's gonna beat Rich Holland and get in the match, and how the next time he's gonna be up a ladder, he'll be grabbing the North American title. And then there's a lovely little line at the end where he says, the next time I'll be up a ladder, I won't be changing the light bulb, yes. I'll be changing NXT.
And also
that
it's
I really liked.
Still the same house from In Your House, and it still has the Doc Hendricks photo.
Right, question. So if it's still the same house from the In Your House set, what happens if they go out the door? Does it lead to the In Your House set in a WWE warehouse?
Yeah,
that seems
WWE
highly inconvenient to me. Like, I don't know. This is just all mental, and I hate that I didn't like this at first, because this is great, and this is the best. And they finish, and they've both got like tracksuits on,
yes,
with like a power couple in the back.
I realize
it's so good. It's the best.
Speaking out, and since COVID, I've kind of shifted from, like, I still really like my pure in-ring action, right? But it tends to be more like that high-intensity, like, Osprey style that I really like. But I also just like shit that makes me laugh in wrestling.
Mm.
And Aaliyah makes me laugh, yeah. Robert Stonebrand makes me laugh, Shotzi makes me laugh, this makes me laugh. And because I'm laughing, I get invested in the characters. And NXT are just doing it really well just now. Because following on from this, we cut onto, well, one, Gargano Rich Holland should actually be pretty good. Rich Holland being bigger, Gargano being able to like bump around for him will make him look really good. I assume Gargano will win. But I wouldn't be too surprised to see Holland.
I would say
I mean, whoever it is fights the winner of Balor versus the nonce. Oh, is it just two people that are going from this? Ah.
Yeah. So so far we have.
So we got Priest.
Oh God, let me come on ahead. Do this. Priest, Reed, the winner of this main event, the winner of Gargano and Rich Holland, and the winner of
the
person who didn't get pinned in this match, and Finn.
So. It feels like, and so before we get to Thatcher does another lesson, and it's fine, it's more of the same.
Yeah, he doesn't really my problem is he didn't address him leaving himself open for the chokehold. I mean, I guess they're abandoning the Lotus,
didn't happen,
because
I suppose the thing
Lotus
is
injured, but yeah, it just seems weird.
He wouldn't mention it. They could have done something where like someone mentioned it and then he beat the shit out of them, but yeah, just didn't mention it.
Maybe next
week isn't doing anything at TakeOver, so can maybe him versus Larkin in a submission match on like the go home. But
yeah,
we get to our main event. Cameron Grimes comes out, Kushida comes out, Neutron, blue, yellow swirls. Who's this? Is it, as
so
our friend
special.
Steven predicted, Jeff Cobb? Is it someone from the performance center that's not yet to debut? Is it like a repackaging? Is it Kevin Owens making a surprise return as I wanted? I'm sat there on the call with the guys going, not Velveteen Dream, not Velveteen Dream, not, ooh, this is a new Tron. Ow! Oh, for fuck's sake! Velveteen Dream got lost on his way to the nursery and rocked up at NXT. Because the answer to what school does he go to is Full Sail, and basically I then couldn't pay attention to the rest of the match because it was a shit mystery opponent. And as I said on the last week's pod, when you give me a mystery opponent, if it's shit, it kills the match. So I genuinely couldn't tell you about anything that happened in this match.
Really?
Oh, I remember the finish, and I remember what happens after the finish.
Good.
But,
Because the match itself was pretty good, because I did watch it pretty closely, and there was a really good back and forth all the time between Kushida and Velveteen Dream. They were really going at it and doing really well. Those Cameron Grimes was
well, you remember this more than I do, so what did you think of the match?
It was really, really good, and the finish was... Oh, God, now you're testing me. So... Kushida had Velveteen Dream in the hoverboard lock. Dream then transitioned it into the Dream Valley Driver. Kushida then got him back into the hoverboard lock with Dream standing up. And then Grimes does a cave-in on Kushida as he's got Dream in the hold. He rolls Velveteen Dream out and pins Kushida. And Cameron Grimes is in the tight ladder match. And I really want him to win.
Before we talk about what happened after the match. So my other thing I'd like to see does involve him winning, kind of. I want them to do something fun with the North American title. And Cameron Grimes is a very fun character, right? He's a different type of heel to Cole, where like he'd be a shitebag, but like we're talking like proper, like bringing in a doctor's note so that he doesn't have to defend the title and shit like that. But I've been crying out for like a funny comedic mixed matched championship team for a while in the tag division. If they aren't going to do that, I would like to see Damian Priest ascend the ladder at TakeOver and grab the belt, and then Grimes hit the cave-in on someone and on the jump up grab the belt as well, at which point they both fall to the mat holding the belt and at least until the next big show we have North American champions Damian Priest and Cameron Grimes and Regal.
See, I feel like that would be fun, but I'd be worried they would just do a like
match. You do that in like a month or so. I'm not wanting to lay cool, but I think a month of them taking alternating turns defending it and like doing little backstage shenanigans, I think, could be really fun. Them selecting challengers for each other and stuff like that. And I just think it'd be nice. It'd be refreshing. But
because Grimes seems to be the only one who gets Priest out of his I am boring and monotone shell.
Like he works well when there's someone to do lots of the comedic stuff, and then that makes Damian Priest's deadpan reaction comedic. I like the idea of like Grimes taking, being like, "Well, come on, Priesty, I'm gonna take you on a night out. You gonna come drink and party the Cameron Grimes way. I'll make you live forever." And he takes the two of them rock up for a night out, right? And Damian Priest turns up and he's like leather trousers, flame shirt. You know, hero like rock and metal, and grabs like, "We're going to a dive bar," and they rock into like a proper southern, like the sort of place that there would be a Confederate flag, and Priest is like, the two of them start drinking together, and then you could do shenanigans like that. They play pool and they start beating people up. I just think there's room for it. What there's not room for is a film, you know. I do enjoy WWE's logic of, shit, so he's a paedophile. Turn him heel. At least that way the hate for him is meant to happen. And that's what they did with Velveteen Dream and his weird blonde beard. After the match, he's annoyed that he lost and he attacks Kushida to fuck. And then Finn Balor just teleports behind them and they stare down, and that match will happen next week. One or two.
Next week or the week after. Can't remember.
Can neither of them make it? Balor in a ladder Balor match, if he gets fun. To do some fun stuff, will be fine. I just...
I'm interested to see Dream as
I think kid. It's... I the issue with that. Me is... See, with a lot of the other speaking out stuff. So, for example, Riddle. Sometimes, and it is bad that it happens, but sometimes I can forget because of how good they are in ring, or like when I'm watching it, I don't mean to forget, like I'll just tune out, or like because I'm like, oh, it was this one-off thing and that's bad, but in my head I'm like, give them a second chance. Slightly different when you talk about grooming like a 13-year-old boy. It just hits different. It's the same with the theory thing. Like there's the Travis Banks situation, right, where I'm like, it's a bit disgusting, and yeah, the action that's being taken is appropriate. And then there's, you literally try to fuck a 13-year-old. And paedophilia just hits different. And it just... I don't care enough about Dream to like try and defend it in my head. Like, the Osprey thing, I have like a constant conflict between my morals, and he does flips. But, yeah. It should have been Kevin Owens.
I don't know. I think Kevin Owens or someone like that wouldn't have fit in with the whole vibe they're going for this match. Because again, they're going for the whole,
as
like,
opposed to
this is the
Dream
new generation
and Finn Balor.
New breed thing. Well, Finn kind of counts, because he's like heel and it's a new character, so I feel like you can get away with him a little bit. Dream, yeah, fair enough. But, like, I mean, out of all the potential options, they're not the worst. I think both can have that sort of high-flying ability that they can make it more interesting. And then they're obviously...
I just also hope for
Gano
the sake of NXT on Twitter that Dream's not in the match, because then people won't mention that throughout the entire match, and it won't subtract from the new guy's first takeover.
True. Yeah. It's an issue, but I feel like they're keeping an eye on it, surely. They must be aware.
They care until it goes to court. I think they've pretty much said that as well.
Well, no, is it not with abuse cases? They don't care. Obviously, take this verbatim. But, like, they don't really...
Yeah, like, when it came out that they pretty much said, unless it goes to court, we don't give a shit, sort of thing. Like, until it's proven guilty.
Yeah, true. Oh yeah, aye, because they did do it. Yeah, because that's the reason they said about
but then, like,
Devlin and
they got rid of Banks, right? Like, I think he's fully gone.
Yeah, but that was because there was evidence.
So maybe after the stuff that
I don't know
came out recently, like the last 2 days since that, from the abuser, like more evidence and stuff that they might accident.
We'll
speaking of next week, let's have a look at what is confirmed. So if we go to everyone's favourite German website, Cage Match, and go to... The one thing annoying about Cage Match is NXT is just classed as WWE. So you have to go to WWE events and then try and scroll down to the right NXT. So there's TakeOver.
Well, we know Gargano
and
Ridge Holland is one of them. I'm fairly sure that's happening next week.
The 22nd?
I don't think they announced really much else. I think so, hang on. No, the 19th.
Oh, 20 seconds, TakeOver 30, that's what it is.
That next week?
Yeah,
well, yes, it must
Gargano, Ridge Holland, Balor, Velveteen Dream.
Oh,
and of course, Swerve and Breezango versus Legado del Fantasma. And so that's
is that confirmed? Right,
two pretty big matches, and then one match that will probably be really good. So... In terms of the six man doesn't have a lot of stakes, but I think it'll probably be really good, and I'm excited for Gargano Ridge Holland, so it should be a fun show.
It's a good setup for a go home show
off for TakeOver. So I guess the next NXT roundtable will be the TakeOver 30 / Survivor Series SummerSlam go home special, like prediction special, which I think that means we're gonna have to do what we did a few years ago and reach out to some other wrestling personalities.
I mean, you say we have to do that. What you mean is you're going to do that, and I'm going to just come up and tell you to do a podcast.
He can.
Oh, good fun. Get him to actually do something. Yeah, that's fair.
Predictions for predictions slash previews for it. We'll get people like, you know, some of the regular listeners, some of the other podcasts that we listen to, try and get some people to do that. So, Ennis, any final thoughts and anything you would like to plug?
It was a really fun little episode. I was surprised by a lot of the stuff. Like Cross and Birch, I was kind of expecting just a squash from, and they actually went competitive with it. Reed and Priest really, really surprised me, and I was digging with that. I really should have seen Dream coming with the whole mystery opponent thing, but that match was really fun. Everything else aside, and yeah, it was a really fun episode. I'm quite excited to see what they do next week. But that aside, you can follow me on Twitter at @ennis_mcvey, @INNES_MCVEY. Pretty much everything I do on there links from there, so just go follow there. And you can, what was my last post on there? Oh, me retweeting a tweet, swearing at the sun.
Oh, not the newspaper. Okay,
that's the kind of content you can expect. Yes.
I thought this NXT was pretty flat, but it had some good stuff on it with especially Aaliyah and Robert Stone, Mercedes, that sort of tag match. The Cross thing, I'm intrigued to see where it goes. It's a shame the Velveteen Dream was a return, but other than that, I thought everything else was pretty fine. You can follow me on Twitter at Liam A. Stewart. Oh, yeah. You can add me on Battle.net, Raijin, #2366, if you want to, you know, join me for some Overwatch or some Hearthstone. And you can follow the brand at Develop Podcast. I think today we'll get played out by Cameron Grimes. He won the main event, and we like Cameron Grimes.
Excellent. His theme's just up on Spotify, so that should make it easy
other
for
than
you.
That,
yes.
Thank you very much for listening. We have been the Developmental Podcast. If you enjoy what we do here, please make sure to sort of drop us a tweet on Twitter. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, all that jazz. I've been really sure he's been in a big day. This has been the Developmental Podcast, and as always, please remember, be good people.